Good afternoon, President Davis. Background looks great. Would you like to do a audio check?
Yes. How are you today, Mr. Davis?
Doing great. Thank you. And sound is great. Thank you. President Davis, if we are ready to begin, you'll be prompted with the recording start. I'll be admitting all participants in the waiting room. Good afternoon, Commissioner Kulkarni. Would you like to do a quick sound and video check?
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, Executive Director Tristan.
Good afternoon. Background looks great and sound is good. Thank you. Like everyone is in attendance. We have a couple more in the waiting room. I'll give it about 2 minutes. Thank you for your patience, everyone. We will begin. President Davis, you'll be prompted and hear the recording begin.
This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome. Good morning. I'm Shedrick Davis, the president of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission. Today is April 20th, 2022, and this is a regular meeting of the Ethics Commission. In light of Government Code Section 54953E1, and 54953E3, the governor's executive order in 21-21, November 10th of 2021, and the commissioner determinations of March 31st, 2022, this meeting is accessible by telephone. You may listen in by calling area code 213-621-2489. Again, that is 213-621-2489. You may also provide public comment. All public comment will be taken during agenda item number 2. To provide public comment, please call area code 669-254-5252. Again, that is area code 669-254-5252. You'll enter meeting ID 161-788-478-80, followed by the pound sign. Again, that's 161-788-4780, followed by the pound sign. You'll press the pound sign again when you're asked for a participant ID. We're going to now call the meeting to order, so let's get started. This meeting is called to order at 12:05 p.m. Eric Eusebio is our meeting moderator. Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you, President Davis. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and here or present. President Davis?
Davis, present.
Vice President Dar?
Mr. Dar, present.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, here.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, present.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, present.
All commissioners are present. We may continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eusebio. At this time, we'll take all public comment on agenda item number 2, and this will be on agenda items and general public comment. If you have called the public comment line, please raise your hand to speak by pressing star 9. You will be recognized by our meeting moderator when it is your turn to speak. When you are recognized, please state your name and which agenda item or items you wish to comment on. As a reminder, the commissioners are not permitted to engage with speakers regarding public comment.
Thank you, President
Davis. Do we have any comments?
Yes. Thank you, President Davis. Caller ending in 404, you'll have 3 minutes and you'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Excellent. My name is Jamie York, but I'm speaking as an individual. But I do want to note that when you get to the neighborhood council section, I do have 2 community impact statements from my neighborhood council. I was hoping to speak on items general public comment number 6 and number 12.
You may begin.
Can I go ahead?
Yes.
So first, I wanted to say thank you so much for the changes to the neighborhood council lobbyist identification. That's something that I have been really passionate about when it became apparent that lobbyists were not always doing a job of clearly identifying themselves as lobbyists in neighborhood council meetings. And so I'm really thankful to see those changes. And the one slight change that I would say that I would ask for is to also make it clear that this also applies to committees. A lot of times committees will weigh in on important topics, in particular plum committees or like government issue committees. Those are often areas where we will see lobbyists show up. And not all of those are elected board members because committees can have constituent members. We want to make it clear that it also applies to those committee members as well. Next in the MLO, I think that the $2 million sort of cap for 501c3s is too high for them to not count as lobbyists. I think that a $50,000 cap would make a lot more sense. The IRS uses $50,000 as the level that they require for if you have to file a Form 990 or not. So I actually think $50,000 is a lot more appropriate because what we're after is transparency. Then in terms of item number 12, just looking at enforcement, I did want to let the commission know that neighborhood council members are receiving quite a bit of email to our oftentimes official email accounts that are paid for by the city, and in some cases to our city-owned and city-distributed email lists. And there's a lot of neighborhood council members that this doesn't sit well with us because they are city-owned resources. I think it would really behoove the commission to issue clearer guidance to all candidates around this issue. And I know that people are excited to try and contact us, but at least in our case, in my case, I know that I take the divide between political and government really seriously, and I think that that's something that we should all strive for. And then the last thing that I would say is that I would really encourage, and this is something that was discussed in the last meeting, the development of tools for neighborhood council members and for the public as well to teach people how to better utilize the really wonderful tools that are on the Ethics Commission's webpage. You guys have like a great deal of data available, which is wonderful. I love it so much. But I don't think people always know like what's available to them. So I think that that would be a really helpful tool for more people who want to be involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller ending in 838. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, my name is Michelle Gallagher. I am also on the Reseda Neighborhood Council, but I'm speaking as myself, and I would like to speak to items 6, 12 and general public comment.
Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, so my colleague, fellow board member Jamie York, hit a lot of good points. Just now, I really do want to stress one thing in particular, which is the $2 million threshold. That is just way too high. I mean, anybody involved in politics, that is you know, like that amount is just so easy to game by creating new like medium organizations, spin-offs of large organizations. And I think that it's just simpler for everybody if we use the existing standard of $50,000, because then it's just consistent. And also, it's just not worth people's time to create a bunch of, you know, such tiny, tiny organizations to get up to the amount of spending that you need to be influential. Okay, secondly, just thank you again for paying attention to the neighborhood councils and including us in the lobbying disclosure new policy. I do think that it is clear in the language that committees are included, neighborhood councils committees, but just I think it's worthwhile to get it on the record that that's everybody's understanding, just because I have heard some people be nervous about that. And then lastly, regarding item number 12, I also want to echo the concerns that Ms. York expressed regarding the use of city resources to mass email people. I mean, empower that you should not be able to get a list from the city. It just makes no sense. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Caller ending in 208, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hi, it's Rob Kwan. I'd like to speak on all the items in general comment.
Okay, thank you. You may begin.
You know, as it stands, opposed to this proposal unless it's amended, because I think there are a couple major loopholes. There are big decisions still on the table, and I don't think we can afford to leave this to city council to get it right. I think it would just discourage them from taking it up to send them something half-baked. I think you should have a healthy conversation and bring it back for a vote at a future meeting, whether that's a special or whatever. A few small things on the lobbying fundraising thing. I don't think we should give the city attorney a pass, and that's a recommendation that should be in there. On the issue of including the position of lobbyists, I don't necessarily think support and oppose offers as much context as we think it will. You know, in an electoral sphere, support, oppose is a lot more clear, whereas here in City Hall, amendments are where all the action is. And you might have some lobbyists that strongly opposes something, but if they get their key amendment, they're all good with it. And I think they might even prefer the ability to provide a bit more context on conditional support or opposition. One thing I'm extremely concerned about is it looks as though you're trying to exempt all business improvement districts. And I don't want to go in a long rant about bids, but I just think this is exactly the kind of group that we need to have under the pulse of the Ethics Commission. And merely because the bids have been griping about it and wanting to get out from under your reach is not a reason that we should give them a pass here. The thing I'm most concerned about is the C3 front, your exemption over there. One thing you're doing is moving from, you know, that definition on the first exemption. You know, we were excluding people who provided free services to the indigent, and now it's those that are providing significantly below market rate. I didn't see a definition of that, and maybe you don't want to have a hard, concrete definition, but it would really behoove all of us to have some clarity there, because there's a lot of play in significantly below market rate. Biggest concern is your $2 million threshold. You know, we're not talking about small nonprofits here. We're talking about small, medium, and large. Even if we just use the $1 million threshold, I looked and found some stats that captures 77% of 501c3s out there. That's a lot. And you're opening up a door and welcoming people to exploit this. And I'll just note that there was a group, a nonprofit, Arms of Los Angeles, that is dedicated to youth empowerment, jobs training. They no longer exist, mysteriously. But when the oil setback was moving through city council, they were leading the way in advocacy against ending urban oil drilling. So I just think this is a situation where we've seen clear-cut examples where there have been attempts, and I just see that this is all kinds of bad. And another particular concern is what happens if a nonprofit is fiscally sponsored, and that particular nonprofit only has revenues of $50,000, $100,000, but the nonprofit that they are responsive to and has control over them effectively has a much bigger budget. So I think at a minimum, you need to have some clarifying language there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, caller. Caller ending in 642. You will be prompted to unmute.
Hello, my name is Susan Winsberg, president of Franklin Quarter Communities, but speaking today as an individual. And just requesting regarding item number 6 that you submit the amendments to the lobbying laws using the compensation-based threshold for defining a lobbyist, and I agree that it should be 50,000, not millions of dollars. Changing the term municipal legislation to city matter and changing the term city official to city personnel, and then of course trying to get it past city council will be a different story, but this is something that needs to be done, and it's just the way it is right now, it's opening the door to rampant corruption in the city of LA. So thank you very much for your attention. I appreciate it.
Thank you, caller. Caller ending in 781, you'll be prompted to unmute. You are on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, first I would just like to say thank you to the commission for proposing these amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance. I think it's this is well overdue, and I appreciate the commission's work on this. Secondly, I would like to say, for the most part, I think the amendments are excellent, but I would like to see, as other colleagues have expressed, the exemption for or the threshold for nonprofits being $2 million is too high. I think it should be brought much lower, and I think $50,000 is a completely reasonable sum. So thank you for your time, and again, I appreciate your work on this.
Caller, can you please state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Casey Madren.
Okay. Thank you. Caller ending in 274, you'll be prompted to unmute. Caller ending in 274, you are on mute.
Hello. My name is Quinn Tu, and I'm Southern California Council at Alliance for Justice. We work with and support nonprofit organizations to create a more equitable and just society. I'm here today because we and other members of the nonprofit community are concerned that the seemingly small revision to the nonprofit exemption at Section 4803E, that has happened since the Commission last approved this language in 2016 might unintentionally undermine the exception altogether, the exemption altogether. We believe that that's not the intent, and we and our partner have proposed a simple solution to fixing the language. So Alliance for Justice has been involved in helping nonprofits navigate and comply with the city's MLO, including drafting fact sheets and providing trainings for nonprofit. A clear, simple nonprofit exemption is critical to help facilitate underrepresented people's participation in government decisions. And the updated exemption, which we and a coalition of nonprofits have worked on to support over many years, is much clearer than with the exception of the last two sentences. And we did provide, in the form of a written comment our suggestion for the language, and the language can be found on page 43 of your PDF, or if you're looking at a printout, page 8 of the attachment B. Our biggest concern about the lack of clarity and why it's important we're talking about this is because we don't want nonprofits to have to hire a lawyer to understand this nonprofit exemption. We know that there's concerns about it being abused, but that's not possible because of the federal laws governing nonprofits. And we truly appreciate the exemption. At the beginning of this pandemic, hundreds of nonprofits in the LA County area came together to advocate for vulnerable communities on issues such as housing, eviction moratorium, vaccine equity, and many more issues. And these are the communities who would be dissuaded from participating in the process if the nonprofit exemption is not clear. So we're hoping that you, commissioners, we urge you to make the modest changes that we've suggested to ensure that the proposed nonprofit exemption is actually usable to the nonprofit community as intended. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Caller ending in 994, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hello, my name is Sean McMorris. I'm with California Common Cause. We submitted formal comments. I believe you have them. I was just calling in to request that you consider some of our recommendations. In general, we think that the draft is good, and we're grateful for staff and the commission for undertaking the task. I just point out some of the things we requested were making the throughout the reporting incorporating language that ensures that contingency bonuses for lobbyists are included. I know it's included in the definition of compensation, but I think it could be better incorporated in some of the other sections of the law. And then in terms of penalties, please consider allowing a civil action to be initiated by either the commission or a resident. We think that this is a good check. While I'm sure that the city attorney's office has, is a fair arbitrator, they do serve two masters to some degree. So since there is no special counsel, I think it's appropriate to have civil actions apply, and the city does it for its other laws, as does Berkeley and City of Oakland for its lobbying laws. Other than that, I just want to point out, too, I think it's appropriate to add that a lobbyist notify or report whether, they have worked for the city in the past, which was in a previous draft but is no longer in this draft. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Caller ending in 271, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hello, this is Glenn Daly. I wanted to speak on 6, 7, and I guess general public comment, or possibly 12. And also, I have, I'm representing a neighbor council. We filed a community impact statement. I see that's item number 4 on the agenda, so should I save that till then?
Yes. Thank you. You may begin with your public comment.
Okay, thank you. So speaking as an individual at this point in the meeting, I just wanted to add with regards to the municipal lobbying ordinance, that the issue of nonprofit groups and their activities to obtain city funds from various entities is a big issue. Currently, neighbor councils spend annually or have allocated $3 million that are available to them. In the past, it was up to $5 million. And there are a number of organizations that are taking advantage of this opportunity to receive funding from neighbor councils, and they are applying to probably all 99 of them. And they are not disclosing, and as a result, they are receiving tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars from these city funds. And they are not required to disclose that they are receiving compensation or not from the from their nonprofit organization. I believe that they should disclose that. I believe that they should be registered as a lobbyist, that they're in fact getting money from any entity of the city, not just neighbor councils, but any entity. And therefore, I do think that the threshold should be lower, and that was not addressed by our neighbor council's community impact statement, so I wanted to include that as well. Second comment is item number 7 with regards to the continuation of the pandemic findings, which I support your doing so, but I just want to advise you that many other entities in accommodating that by having virtual meetings, and thank you for having virtual meetings, but the only way to access your virtual meeting the way you have it set up is to call a long distance phone number and hope that your reception holds for that. Many other entities provide toll-free numbers. Many other entities, and I'm talking about city entities, provide the ability to join the meeting by Zoom, so you can do it via the internet. So you've blocked the ability to be able to do that. And I think as you continue on virtually, that you should really look at, use the neighbor councils as a model for public engagement, public accessibility, to be able to monitor your meetings, to listen to them, to even view them, and be able to access the participation in the meetings without having to call a long-distance phone number. And then lastly, the comments with regards to a candidate for city offices, candidates for city office using city email distribution lists is inappropriate. It's fine if they want to reach out and communicate people individually, but that is not appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller ending in 500, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hello, my name is Michael Shear, and I just wanted to thank the commission. I had made a public comment at the special meeting about the changes to the municipal lobbying ordinance, urging that you consider prohibiting lobbyists from engaging in fundraising activity to bring the city law in line with the state law, and I see that it is in the report. And the subcommittee is encouraging discussion of this. And I wanted to thank you for listening to the comment, and I want to again urge you to discuss and add this to your proposed changes, that lobbyists should not be hosting fundraisers for our city officials. They're not allowed to do it on a state level, and they shouldn't be allowed to do it on a city level. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller ending in 990, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hi, I'm calling to express my heartfelt gratitude to the Ethics Commission regarding the lobbying issue. Wish you had done it way sooner. Yes, city government exists to serve the needs of all citizens. The cesspool of corruption on that city council is never ending, and you are taking a huge step to try and do something about it. Bless you all, and thank you.
Thank you. President Davis, seems we have no further public comment.
Mr. Rubio. Well, that concludes our public comment period. Thank you to all who spoke. We'll now go to agenda item 3, which is the approval of the minutes of the meetings of February 16th, March 15th, and March 31st, 2022. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Commissioner Dar will make a motion to approve all of the submitted minutes.
Commissioner Janelle will second.
May I make a friendly amendment?
Can we separate the December 15th, 2021 minutes from the other special meetings, please?
I seem to remember us going through this last time with multiple minutes. Commissioners Dar and Janot, would you accept this friendly amendment?
Just for clarification, December, what's the date that you want to take out, Commissioner Murray?
December 15, 2021, that was the last commission meeting, and separate that from the special meeting. Sorry.
And for point of information, is that part of the minutes that have been agendized for approval? Sorry to ask that question.
Oh, it's Commissioner Murray, February 16th, March 15th, and March 31st. So correct me, Mr. Tristan, but I believe February 16th was the last regularly scheduled meeting, and the 15th and the 31st of March were special meetings for...
Yes, I'm sorry. I wanted to separate the regular commission meeting from the special meeting.
As the mover of the motion, may I simply suggest that the motion, if there's a issue or request for clarification or change, maybe we can have that discussion and then amend the motion as may or may not be necessary if there's a change in the minutes. Just to make things.
I think that's fine. I think at the end of the day, we need to make sure that if we're going to hold them all together, that at least three commissioners were here for the three meetings. I believe we talked about last time that if you weren't here for the meeting, I think those people were pulling themselves from voting, which counted as a vote in favor. If I correct, that's the issue that we're trying to address right now. I was here for all three meetings. Mr. Dar, Commissioner Dar, I believe you were as well. I don't know the...
I suspect it's a different issue, but not having anything being said, I'll be happy to withdraw my motion if it's agreed to by the person... Commissioner who seconded and make a new motion for just approval first of the two special meetings of March 15 and March
31. Frozen, is there another commissioner? Oh, no, not frozen.
I'm fine with that.
So we have a motion and a second for March 15th and March 31st approval. Is there any discussion? Let's take a vote. Mr. DeSubio, please call the roll.
This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meetings and the date of February 16th, March 15th.
No, March 15th and March 31st, sir.
For March 15th and March 31st, when your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, abstain.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray abstain.
We have three yeses and two abstain, and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Now for the regular meeting of February 16th, is there a motion?
I move to approve the minutes from the last regular meeting. Thank you.
I second.
Is there any discussion? Mr. Subio, could you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of February 16th. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have five yeses and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Well, we'll go into number four, the possible discussion with authorized neighborhood council representatives. Have any resolutions or community impact statements been filed for this meeting, Mr. Eusebio?
Yes, we have two. They have their hands raised, and we'll go with the first representative ending in 404. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, this is Jamie York, and I'm representing the Reseda Neighborhood Council. We actually have passed two different CISs that are relevant to this meeting. So the first one has to do with the Municipal Lobbying Ordinance, number 6, so I'll read that one first. Is that okay? Can we go ahead?
Yes.
Cool. So the Reseda Neighborhood Council requests consideration of an addition to the Municipal Lobbying Ordinance. Under Section 48.08.8 of the current lobbying ordinance, a lobbyist disclosure is only required for written communications to neighborhood councils. We believe this ordinance should be updated to include the same disclosure when a lobbyist makes an oral presentation or public comment to a neighborhood council that is related to their lobbying efforts. As you may be aware, neighborhood councils continue to meet telephonically due to COVID, and it is widely expected that this will continue in at least some form, even when if the pandemic passes. Additionally, under AB 361, we're prohibited from requiring speaker cards, which is where traditionally lobbying disclosures have happened on our council. While Reseda can require disclosure for its own meetings, that disclosure has no teeth for enforcement as it's not an ordinance, and it also does not address the other 98 neighborhood councils, which similarly serve as elected advisory bodies to the city. We believe that a lack of oral lobbyist disclosure requirement leaves many neighborhood council board members at an information disadvantage and that it should be addressed for the following reasons. One, transparency. We believe every voting member on a board has the right to know the knowledge if a lobbyist is speaking on an item for which they're compensated to lobby. Two, diffusion of responsibility. A lobbyist may send a correct written disclosure either via mail or email, but often these communications do not go to every member of a board. Unless the board member is diligent in passing along these communications, then it's possible there would be other members of a board who did not know of the lobbyist status of the individual speaking. And three, lack of training. We do not receive training on identifying or looking up lobbyist activities in the city through the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. We believe the legal onus should be on the lobbyist to be as upfront and straightforward with the board as possible. Additionally, the responsibility is then on the paid lobbyist rather than the volunteer board member when it comes to the pursuit of this information. We believe this small change would be a big step for increasing transparency and allow for board members to have the most informed votes possible. And then the other one that we passed, this was actually on Monday. This fits in with items that are on number, I think it's 12 of your agenda, that look at enforcement. So, dear Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, on April 8, 2022, the Reseda Neighborhood Council received a campaign email from SPPC ID 1425861 to our city-owned and city-maintained email distribution list. The entire LA.org email list were maintained by the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. We believe that this is a violation of Section 49.5.5 of the Municipal Code under Section B4, which states that city officials and agency employees shall not engage in political activity in the following scenarios. Using city equipment, vehicles, supplies, or resources, including but not limited to mailing and distribution lists, electronic mail, and electronic data. We believe that the use of our city-owned and city-maintained email distribution list by a candidate for office who is currently a government official is a violation of the Los Angeles Municipal Code. In speaking with colleagues on other neighborhood councils, we believe it is likely that all neighborhood councils with an email distribution list maintained by the city received this campaign mailing. As there are 99 neighborhood councils, this may mean that 99 different city-owned and maintained distribution lists were used in sending this communication. We request that the City Ethics Commission issue guidance to all candidates regarding the use of neighborhood council distribution lists. We ask that the Ethics Commission take the appropriate enforcement action for this violation or violations. Neighborhood councils are elected advisory bodies to the Los Angeles City Government. As such, it's inappropriate to reach out to us in our official capacity, utilizing city resources to seek our support. Thank you, Reseda Neighborhood Council. Thank you. That's my statement for from our council.
Thank you, Representative. And as a request, if you could please forward that document to the Ethics Commission. and representative ending in 271, you will be prompted to unmute.
Good afternoon. This is Glenn Bailey, and unless Patricia Bates is also in the queue to deliver a community impact statement, I am going to be doing it for both Northridge East Neighbor Council and for Encino Neighbor Council, if I may. Both of them have been filed with the Ethics Commission. They are in your packet for item number 6. Does that continue?
Yes, you may continue.
Okay. So first, the community impact statement filed by the Northridge East Neighbor Council. I'm not going to read the full submittal, but I'll read the one sentence of our motion. Because the current municipal lobbying ordinance section 48.08.8 only requires lobbyist disclosure for written communications to neighbor councils, the Northridge East Neighbor Council supports an amendment to the ordinance to include the same disclosure when a lobbyist makes an oral presentation or public comment to a neighbor council that is related to their lobbying activities. That's the operative wording there. And then before I go to my comments, I'm going to go ahead and just reference the community impact statement filed by the Encino Neighbor Council. That is on page 27 of the packet for agenda item number 6. You may not have received it directly. This was a forward. I had forwarded this to someone, and they had then submitted to you. It is possible that the original one came in after your cutoff date. I'm not sure. But the date of the board action was March 23rd. The date it was filed to the City Ethics Commission on the City Clerk's portal was on May 27th. And I'll just make this short. Basically, they're making a similar support of the amendment to that for the section affecting neighborhood councils. And I just wanted to the Encino Neighbor Council approved the following motion at March 23rd meeting. The current municipal lobbying ordinance 48.08 only requires lobbyist disclosure for written communication in neighbor councils. So the Encino Neighbor Council supports amendment to the ordinance, proposed new section 48.11 above, to include the same disclosure requirement when a lobbyist makes an oral presentation or verbal public comment to neighbor council that's related to the lobbying activities. So very similar wording. I just wanted to, because I know when I spoke at the ad hoc committee, that there was a portion of the connection that was inaudible. And I just wanted to make sure that all commissioners know that this is a very real problem, as evidenced by what happened at the North Hills West Neighbor Council that I did attend on March 17, 2022, where a lobbyist presented to the neighbor council on an issue on their agenda without disclosing that they were a lobbyist. And of course, we're all virtual these days, so there was nothing in writing. It was a verbal presentation. And I know that a portion of that recorded part of the meeting, and the whole meeting is recorded, so you can hear the whole thing, indicated the presiding officer, the president of the neighbor council, was absolutely not understanding that this was a lobbyist or that they were because what they said was religious organizations and that sort of thing. So the representation was clearly not made that they're a registered lobbyist. And so incorporating this into the municipal lobbying ordinance is very necessary to make sure that neighbor councils, whether we're virtual or in person, clearly know what interests are being represented by what industries, what clients, firms are being hired by those special interests. Thank you very much.
Thank you, President Davis. There are no further neighborhood council representatives.
Thank you, Mr. DiSubio. Appreciate it. Thanks to all who our neighborhood council representatives who spoke today. We'll now move on to our action items. The first action item, number 5, the determination regarding the sufficiency of matching funds, trust funds for the regular 2020 election. Item 5 addresses the matching funds program for the 2022 election. I'd like to ask our Director of Audit, Iana Danilovich, to present this item.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Ilya Danilkevich, and I'm the Director of Audit. Item 5 is an action item regarding the matching funds program. Specifically, the matching funds program provides limited funding to help qualified city candidates campaign for elected office. The program is funded by annual appropriations to a trust fund. For every city election, the Ethics Commission must determine whether there is enough money in the trust fund to provide maximum matching funds to each qualified participant. The maximum amount of funding available to a qualified candidate varies depending on the office sought and the type of election. A table on page 2 of the report identifies the maximums for the 2022 elections. We had a total of 140 individuals file fundraising paperwork for city seats in the election cycle. Of those, 98 individuals, or 70%, agreed to participate in the matching funds program. However, to receive public funding, candidates must meet a number of qualification criteria, including being certified to appear on the ballot. The city clerk announced on March 18 that 51 of the participating candidates were certified to appear on the ballot. Assuming that all 51 participating candidates who will appear on the ballot receive maximum funding, total payments in the primary election will be $21,106,000. If the seats that have more than two candidates on the ballot all proceed to a general election and both runoff candidates receive maximum funding, total payments in the general election will be $6,264,000. Therefore, the most that we would pay out in matching funds for the entire election cycle is $27,370,000, which is less than the $28.5 million that will be available to candidates for the 2022 election. Therefore, the staff recommends adopting the resolution in Attachment A to certify that maximum funding is available for each qualified candidate in the 2022 primary and general elections. At this time, I'm happy to provide any additional information or any answers to questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Danilkevich. Commissioners, if you have questions, please raise your hand to be recognized. Vice President Dar.
Thank you. This isn't a question as much as a comment. While we are maybe going through something mandatory, this is one of the most important functions offered by our city. So what we're doing today is extremely important, and it's very good news for all of us that we have sufficient trust fund amount in a very active election cycle going on. It speaks to the testament of the matching fund program that the city has adopted and is implementing this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President.
Are there any other questions or comments from commissioners? I am not seeing any, so I'll entertain a motion regarding the proposed resolution.
This is Commissioner Murray. I move to approve the resolution in Attachment A.
Is there a second?
I will second. Commissioner Janelle.
Thank you. Is there any further conversation? Mr. Estubio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to adopt the resolution in Attachment A to certify maximum funding is available to qualified candidates in the primary and general elections. When your name is called, please state your name for the record, and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Estubio. Thank you very much, Mr. Danilkevich.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Possible amendments, item number 6 to the municipal lobbying ordinance, as recommended by our ad hoc subcommittee. Tyler Joseph is our policy director, and I'd like to ask him to present this item. Before that, before Mr. Joseph presents, would either of the subcommittee members, Vice President Dar or Commissioner Murray, like to say a few words?
Commissioner Dar will take advantage of that opportunity, unless Commissioner Murray has something to. Okay, so just a couple quick comments. First of all, thank you to everybody, the public, who has worked with our ad hoc committee on this process, and I'm excluding staff, who's also been extremely helpful, but for the public, because all the input and comments we've received, which has been quite a lot, has been extremely helpful for making this a very, you know, work-focused project. And we really have appreciate all of the comments and input and insights that have been provided to us during our effort to get recommendation to the commission for consideration today. First, with regard to the issue of the neighborhood council language that's been added, which was something that we listened and heard from everybody in the neighborhood councils, and things sometimes look easier than said, but I'm very happy that we've been able to come to a solution that is in the proposed recommendation to the commission, the draft language, as to whether or not the language includes neighborhood council committees, and whether or not that's clear in our record that that was our intent. Speaking for the ad hoc committee, yes, that was the intent to include the committees of neighborhood councils. And I will note, just so it's in the record clearly, that if one looks at page 10 of 14, of the memo that proposes all of the changes that we're considering at today's hearing, that page 10 of 14, 3D section, it specifically does mention the intent that committees of neighborhood councils are covered. We believe it is, and we believe it's clear in the record that that's our intent. Next comment I will just briefly make as to the issue of the nonprofit threshold. As reflected in the memorandum, the ad hoc committee did not have a recommendation at that point other than identifying the issue. And so I think that's something that the commission may want to discuss today. I will share that on a personal level. I can see good arguments made for reducing the threshold from $2 million to either $1 million or $500,000. I'm not inclined to necessarily go down to the level we've heard some people advocate today, which is substantially less. But that's an issue that I think is something the commission may want to consider. Right now, the proposal from the ad hoc committee leaves the status quo in place, the $2 million, just so we're clear. And then the last thing, and this is not from the ad hoc committee, but on a personal level as one of the commissioners, upon further contemplation, I personally am in favor of the modification of the language of 4803E, which we've heard from some of the nonprofit groups today, and it's in our packet, the language, for example, in, I think it's page 25 or 32 of the packet for item 6, but specifically to, I would support and ask the commission to consider, even though it's not part of our language in the recommendation of the ad hoc committee, that we revise 4803E so it would read that this exemption also applies to the organization's employees and board members while in here inserting the words engaged in official duties, then deleting the words providing the organization's core services, period. Continuing, this exemption does not apply to an attempt by the organization or its employees or board members to influence a city, insert the word matter, delete the word decision. And then continuing, regarding funding and inserting, comma, a contract, comma, or a permit, end of insert, for the organization, period, and then deleting the words a contract, comma, a permit, comma, or legislation. And this is, again, in the public comment we received at page 25 and 32 and at other places in the packet. And that was my comments at this point. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, President Davis.
Thank you, Vice President Dar, and thank you, Commissioner Murray, for your service on the subcommittee on this very important topic that as made clear by the comments, which we all appreciate earlier, is very important to our city. And now with that, I'll invite Mr. Joseph to present.
Commissioner Davis, President Davis, just one thing. I unfortunately have to leave in 2 minutes. So just wanted to let you be aware of that. And just thank again people who showed up today to give comments on this. I think they're very important. They're things that we should be considering.
Is there anything in particular, Commissioner Janow, that you'd like to leave us with or comments about any specific?
Hearing the comments this morning, while I appreciate the $50,000 number that some of the organizations have thrown up, it does seem to me perhaps to be a little low. While $2 million may be high, I think $50,000 could be like half or a third of one person's work, which I think would sweep a lot of people into that category. And while I understand the desire to want to regulate that, I'm not sure that's really feasible. Given kind of staffing levels and the commission's other work. So that's one area, kind of what the right number is of interest to me. And then I also think that I'd like to understand a little more about the first public speaker's comments I thought were very good ones. And I'd like to hear a little more about how we might address those comments. It was the committee issue. For neighborhood council lobbyists, that was the other issue that I thought would be of interest in further development.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Janow. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Joseph.
All right. Thank you very much. I apologize for the people in the Zoom meeting who can't see me. I've had camera trouble this morning, so this time around, I'm just going to have to ask that you take my word for it that I'm wearing a suit. For everyone who is listening in, my name is Tyler Joseph. I'm the policy director for the Ethics Commission. I want to thank our subcommittee for all their work on this. We're going to keep this very brief today. These proposals are something that the Ethics Commission and especially the subcommittee has put a lot of work into. We've heard a lot of feedback at a lot of different meetings. This proposal is something that we've put up on the website and made available for everybody to provide feedback on. It touches on a lot of things that we think are very important changes, things that haven't been addressed in a long, long time in the law. As you all are well aware, this involves a couple of key definitions, things like the definition of lobbyist. The subcommittee's change on that front, for example, would move us back from a time-based threshold to a monetary-based threshold, which is standard across all of the major jurisdictions. As you've heard from the public commenters, we have a variety of different exemptions that we've discussed relating to 501c3s, relating to city contractors. The subcommittee has also provided suggestions that relate to new requirements for disclosure and registration. You can see those are summarized very clearly in tables on page 7 and on page 9 of the report. Each one of those X's shows what's required of each different type of lobbying entity, and the goal here is to provide the public with as much information as possible while making, in general, the requirements across the different types of lobbying entities as consistent as possible. The goal throughout this entire review was to treat all of the lobbying entities the same to the extent possible. We really want to get as much of this information on our website in the hands of the public as quickly and as clearly as possible. We think these charts do a very good job summarizing the new information that would be available if the commission decides to advance the subcommittee's recommendations. We've heard a lot of great feedback from the public, and we've heard a lot of great comments from the subcommittee as well. So rather than going line by line through all of this again, which you're all very familiar with, I'm sure, at this point, I would like to turn it back over to Commissioner, or excuse me, Vice President Dar and Commissioner Murray for any thoughts that they might have about potential amendments to this project and any discussion that they'd like to encourage among the other commissioners.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, I want to thank everyone for all of their work, and I want to thank all of the participants for their input and also the information about the Neighborhood Council committees. One thing, as Commissioner Dar said, as far as changing the threshold from $2 million, I would like the other commissioners' input on this. I don't have a problem with $2 million, but I know a lot of people do, and I don't have a problem with that. I would like to hear everybody's the other fellow commissioners' feedback. I believe Commissioner Janelle gave her input. If we could come up with a realistic number, lowering it perhaps from $2 million to $1 million, that's what I wouldn't have a problem with, but I'd be very interested in hearing the other commissioners' thoughts on that. And I do agree with the comment that Commissioner Dar made with adopting the language that is on page 25. I do have my own notes about that and about changing the language. So I concur with him about changing that language, which is very well documented on page 25. Thank you.
Commissioner Darrell, just to add the comment, since it was raised by Commissioner Janelle before she left, that you know, the ad hoc committee believes the memorandum from that before us provides that committees and neighborhood councils are included, and I don't believe there should be an issue on that. We've heard everybody. We made sure that this issue was addressed, and we're happy to now have that recommendation before the commission as to dealing with the whole issue of neighborhood councils, which are such an important part of our city family.
I in line with Commissioner Murray's call to the other commissioners, Commissioner Kilcarney, do you have a statement or comment, or particularly in regards to the nonprofit amount that Commissioner Murray had asked for thoughts on as far as the $2 million versus a lower figure?
Yes, I do, President Davis. Thank you. First off, I want to express my appreciation for all of the work of the staff and the subcommittee. These are really important modifications. I want to express my appreciation for the comments that have been made by the public today and in writing. And let me just say I'm very pleased by the comments made just now by Vice President Dar and Commissioner Murray, because I do have a number of concerns regarding the nonprofit exemption. You know, as was stated by some of those in public comment, in the public comment period, you know, there is a lack of clarity around some of the language, especially as it pertains to the term legislation, which I do not believe is defined. And the second point that is related to that is the fact that nonprofits, unlike other lobbyists who do advocacy, are not doing it in their own self-interest. They are, in fact, doing it based on the interests of their clients and community members. A very good example of that in the during the pandemic has been number of nonprofits advocated for certain policies related to rent moratoria, related to housing, to homelessness. They themselves may not be homeless. They may not be in need of housing. They may not themselves even be necessarily needing a rent moratoria. I shudder to think of what would happen if we were allowed, if those groups were not allowed to lobby or to advocate on behalf of their clients on those measures. We then would have thousands of people in our city that would become homeless because of the inability to pay rent. So I think it's very important
as Vice President Dar mentioned, to make some of those modifications. I think any fears around businesses potentially trying to become or set up nonprofits, I think, are not well founded. I think given the IRS rules around advocacy and lobbying for nonprofits, I don't think we're going to see a lot of businesses do that. And so what I would say is, you know, to support comments that were made by the subcommittee, that we do change the language to include the terminology of engaged in official duties rather than providing the organization's core services, and to address the issue regarding the matter, which Vice President Dar mentioned, and finally, to remove the three words for, two words, or legislation at the end. And then I also wanted to, so I support both of their comments and also the proposal that Vice President Dar made. Regarding $2 million, my understanding as I read it here is that it is about the organization's gross receipt of $2 million. It's not about any individual and their salaries or the amounts that were used for lobbying, but actually the nonprofit organization's gross receipts. So when we look at that, that's actually a very low threshold. You can essentially have five or six staff and have a $2 million of gross receipts. If you, you know, pay rent in an office building in Los Angeles, you have to pay significant dollars, which would also be fall under that $2 million amount for your budgetary purposes. So I think actually $2 million is quite low. It is not high as some of those during the public comment period made. And I just want to add that I say all of that as someone who has spent 25 plus years in the nonprofit sector. I've both worked as a staff member at multiple nonprofits and also as executive director of two nonprofits. And so I can assure you that the $2 million figure is not at all a high one. Thank you.
Mr. Kulkarni, I appreciate, as the last person to speak, the observations, and certainly appreciate the public comment that was offered here, as well as the written comment that was submitted to us. It was quite informative. I again thank both Vice President Dar and Commissioner Murray for their service on this. It's an important issue. I just have to say that I truly hope that folks who have rallied around this continue that rally when it goes to council to get this over the finish line. It's increasingly important, and I hope your voices continue to be heard in support of the changes that we are proposing, that are being proposed here today. I take Vice President Dar's point on the issues that have been raised today, particularly the committee issue at the neighborhood councils. I'm so grateful to our neighborhood council representatives who have spoken up today, who have written in. It appears clear that it was the intent of the subcommittee to incorporate those in, and I take their word that it has been incorporated in. As to the nonprofits, as a disclosure, I work for a nonprofit myself, aware of the budget. I'm also very sensitive to the fact that I think is the underlying concern on the nonprofit level is that folks are going to be gaming the system and trying to close off all areas and avenues for gaming the system. I would have to agree with Commissioner Kulkarni that $2 million in the grand scheme is not a lot. There will always be bad actors. Hopefully, the Ethics Commission will catch those. However, I do need to speak to the limitations of resources here at the commission. And I do have a concern that if it goes too low, we're just not going to be able to keep up with monitoring and adequately pursuing and enforcing the law. That does not mean I am wedded to the $2 million figure. I'm certainly, like asked Commissioner Murray, open to a reduction, but I do have concern as the more people who are swept into it, that the true folks that we're trying to catch will be able to escape just as part of the crowd. So with that, I think I'd like to direct it to back to Commissioner Dar, who had suggested language for change. Also like to give to possibly put that into motion, but I did want to have Mr. Joseph, if there was anything in response that you'd like to add to anything that the commissioners have voiced here today, that would be helpful as we consider, this.
Thank you. No, only that the staff would be supportive of the changes that you all have discussed. We think that the subcommittee did a fantastic job hearing the feedback that they received throughout the process. Particularly with respect to the 501c3 issue, the suggested language that we received from a few different groups suggesting that we strike the word legislation is something that we think makes a lot of sense. We think that would provide more avenues for them that would be closer in line to what we had initially proposed in 2018. So if that's the direction that the commission ends up going, we would be supportive of that.
Thank you, Mr. Joseph, and thank you so much for the work that you've put into this over the years, as well as the rest of the staff. It's both Mr. Tristan, Ms. Holt, and the rest of the staff we know have been working on this for a long time, and we are certainly not over the finish line, even if we do approve a motion today. Thank you for your continued work on this. Commissioner Dar, I'm going to turn it back over to you, or Vice President Dar, turn it back over to you. If you would, if you feel if there's other discussion that the commission would like to have, I'm certainly open to that. But if there, I'd like to have a motion on the floor that we can at least discuss around before we continue additional discussion.
Of course, I'll just say that I think, and again, I don't want to speak for the ad hoc committee without having actual, a basis to do so. But I'll make the comment that in analysis of what should be that threshold amount, the current $2 million or a lower number, from my perspective, enforcement or ability for the Ethics Commission and staff to keep up has not been the concern. The concern is finding that happy medium between the intent of having the threshold and one that's meaningful as to preventing people gaming the system or taking advantage of the system in unintended foreseen ways. So I just want to mention that for myself. Having said that, I've heard the comments from our commissioners as to the one issue I think we're discussing, which is the leaving the $2 million current status quo threshold or considering changing it. I'm not sure if I'm hearing enough support to change it. So I'm going to propose a motion as follows. We'll see if there's a second. And I will also note before I make the motion that, we're just making a recommendation if the Ethics Commission adopts anything today to the City Council. The City Council ultimately is the one who will have to make any changes. And our President Davis made the very poignant comment, and the history of this is in the memorandum that we're all working from today. This is not the first time that efforts have been made by the Ethics Commission to get reforms made to a you know, the municipal lobbying ordinance that has not been changed since its adoption. We are very hopeful that whatever we recommend today, that we will be able to get everybody who's shown support for this and grow the support so that we can get the City Council to have a hearing. We haven't had a hearing on past proposals from the Ethics Commission. So at least have a hearing and at least have a, you know, this in the public, and hopefully we can convince, you know, our government to consider and make necessary changes to, you know, reflect what the Ethics Commission may decide to do today. So having said that, let me make the following motion that one, the recommendation of the ad hoc committee be approved by the Ethics Commission as its recommendation to the City Council, but for the revised language to 4803E, and otherwise the proposal in its entirety. And that leaves, just for clarity, the $2 million at $2 million now, and that's the motion. And of course, if there's a second, we can discuss then whether or not anyone wants to make any other possible changes to what the motion covers.
I second the motion. Commissioner Murray, second.
Oh, thank you. We do have a motion and a second. I'll now open it up for additional discussion among the commissioners on the motion as it now stands. I'd like to speak on any aspect of that or ask questions of any of our staff members. I am not seeing any. So if there's no additional discussion, Mr. DeSubio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This motion is a vote on to approve the proposed amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance and the recommendation by the ad hoc committee, but for revised language in 48.03.E. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle? Commissioner Janelle is not present. Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have four yes votes. And the motion is approved.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Joseph. And again, thank you to the entire staff of the Ethics Commission for continuing to pursue this issue across the years. And we support you as you march on to present this to council. And thank you for that. We'll now move on to agenda item number 7, which is findings to continue the teleconference meeting pursuant to AB 361. This is our final action. It's to determine if our meetings will continue to be held virtually. The agenda identifies the recommended determination. Is there a motion regarding this recommendation?
Commissioner Dar will so move. I will also make the notation for the public that while the City Council is now opening up things for the City Council, currently our understanding as to the Ethics Commission and other commissions, we are still not being permitted to have in-person meetings, so this is necessary. Sorry to add that. I just want to make sure people aren't confused, because I was confused by the steps I first heard of the news about City Council going back to in-person, and just made the just jump of faith that, oh, that must mean everything else, and doesn't at the moment. So here we are today. So the motion has been made.
Is there a second to that motion, for those who remember it back at the beginning of that?
I'll second it. Commissioner Kulkarni seconds.
Thank you. Is there any additional discussion? We all do look forward to getting back into in-person. So, Mr. DeSubio, would you please call the roll?
This vote is on the motion for the continuation of teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle is not present. Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 4 yes votes. The motion is approved.
That includes our action items for today. We'll now move on to the informational items on the agenda. First, we're going to have election updates on the regular 2022 City and LA Unified School District elections. Bianca Pereira is our campaign program manager. Would you also please summarize the election update for item 11 for us?
Hello, commissioners. So item 8 is an update on the 2022 City and LAUSD election. The primary will be held on June 7th, and 65 candidates will appear on the ballot. 55 are city candidates and 10 are LAUSD candidates. To date, candidates have reported receiving over $17 million in contributions and making expenditures totaling more than $6 million. Additionally, through 24-hour reports, the candidates have reported receiving contributions totaling $17,430,337. The next filing deadline is next Thursday, April 28th, and it will cover activity from January 1st to April 23rd. Next, as Ilya mentioned during his item, 51 of these 55 city candidates on the ballot agreed to participate in the matching funds program. And to date, we have distributed over $3,107,000 in public matching funds to 14 qualified candidates. To date, candidates have filed 2,649 campaign communications, and to date, independent expenditures total $1,467,208. This concludes the summary of my item. I am more than happy to answer any questions you may have, Commissioner.
Thank you, Ms. Ferreira. We appreciate the report. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will now go to the lobbying summary for the fourth quarter of 2021 and the annual overview. Kiana Asmafar, our lobbying program manager, Asmafar, would you please summarize this item for us?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Kiana Asmafar, lobbying program manager. So for item 9, we have a quarterly and annual summary of lobbying activity that took place. Lobbying entities filed their Q4 2021 reports at the beginning of this year. Those reports indicated $17.3 million in payments made to lobbying firms during the quarter. Lobbying entities also reported over $384,000 in fundraising, $11,000 in contributions, and over $43,000 in delivered contributions during the fourth quarter. We also received reports of over $370,000 in major filer activity, and these are entities that spend $5,000 or more in a calendar quarter to influence city matters, but who do not qualify as lobbying entities. The report also includes information about 2021 overall. In 2021, lobbying firms received a total of $72.6 million in payments from clients. The top 10 highest paid firms together comprised 43% of this total amount. You'll also notice from the report that these highest paid firms for 2021 largely overlap with the top 10 highest paid firms of 2020. Lobbying entities, including firms, employers, and lobbyists, reported a total of over $966,000 fundraised and over $290,000 in contributions that were either made or delivered in 2021. We also received over $1 million in reported major filer activity over the course of 2021, which marks the highest reported amount in major filer activity for at least the last decade. You might notice a new format for this lobbying summary. So the lobbying team made changes to the summary to incorporate more visuals and make the lobbying data more digestible and accessible to the public. The first major change that we've incorporated is including an annual summary to share an overview of activity that took place for the entirety of the year. And this is something that we plan to do in future years. The report also has several other new features. We provide tables outlining the highest paid lobbying firms and highest paying lobbying clients for the quarter and the year, and also includes amounts that these entities paid or received in prior reporting periods for reference. We include pie charts that show each of the 10 highest paid lobbying firms' share of the total amount received in comparison with other lobbying firms. We include a table outlining the lobbying entities who fundraised the most and made or delivered the most contributions over the course of the year. We added a new section providing totals for other expenditures made to influence city matters reported by lobbying entities. We also incorporated line graphs showing historical data for fundraising, made or delivered contributions, other expenditures made, and major filer activity. Lastly, we kept the tables that provided more detailed information about the top 10 highest paid firms and highest paying clients and included those as attachments. Those attachments also include new information, specifically the amount paid by each client, each of the highest paid lobbying firms. I just wanted to give thanks to our lobbying program analyst, Jide Hospitalis, who came up with creative ways to present this information and developed all of the informational graphs in the summary, so big thank you to him. And we hope to continue to come up with new ways of presenting this information. That includes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions, commissioners? On behalf of my fellow commissioners, thank you so much for this report, Ms. Asmafar. In particular, the colorfulness of the charts. There's a lot of information here, and it is wonderful to see you looking for ways to make that more accessible. Vice President Dar, I see you have raised your hand.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Commissioner, President Davis. Just a quick question. And by the way, the information for the public is, you know, frankly quite brilliant because it does make what we just went through with trying to, you know, make reforms to the municipal lobbying ordinance so evident as the importance of what we've been working on. Just a technical question. I noticed that in the, this is page 3 through 10 of the item 9 attachment A, on page 5, the list of clients for the listed lobbying firm, document will speak for itself, goes alphabetically but happens to end at the letter K, which may just be coincidental, but I'm wondering if it's possible that there are additional clients that for whatever reason just don't happen to be listed, if you know.
Sorry, so this is for attachment A?
Right, and if I'm looking at, for example, on page 5 of 10. This is for firm number 4.
Oh, I see. That list should continue on in that second column where the client list continues and picks up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There we go. Never mind.
Okay.
All right. So understood now. My apologies. And thank
no
you for
problem.
The clarification. If I missed it, probably others may have missed it too. But thank you. I now see what you did and it makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you again,
thank you.
Ms. Asmafar. We appreciate the work of you and your team. We'll now go on to pre-confirmation statements of economic interest. We're calling Samantha Rodriguez, our ethics program manager. Ms. Rodriguez, would you please summarize this item for us?
Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you, President Davis. The item before you is a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council for approval since our last commission meeting. Since our last commission meeting during the February 2022 and March 2022 period, there were a total of 5 nominees whose pre-confirmation SEIs were filed and then subsequently transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council. These transmitted items included 2 commission/board appointments and 3 head of agency appointments. The details of these transmittals are in your binders, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
President Dar, I assume your hand is from last time, but I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Rodriguez. We appreciate your report here today.
Thank you.
We will come back to Mr. Joseph and his magical suit.
I'm going to assume that everybody except President Davis trusts that I'm actually wearing a suit. I don't know if he's imagining overalls or what's happening over here, but please believe me when I say it's very similar to what you've seen in the past. I'm not abusing the public trust by having the camera off here. So this will be a brief one. The City Council approved the new conflict of interest code for the Civil, Human Rights, and Equity Department on March 4th. That one became effective upon approval, and you can find a copy of that on our website with all of the other conflict of interest codes. We also just launched a new contributor dashboard on our website, and that includes a visualization tool for people to see where in the city contributions are coming from and where they're going. There is a lot of great information in there on the city and LAUSD elections, so I would encourage anyone listening to go check that out and to say a big thank you to Jose Guzman and Nancy Jackson for their great work getting that up and running. They've helped us make a lot of progress with these new tools on our website that we hope to keep building on. Like President Adar mentioned in his comments just a minute ago, making all this information actually useful to the public is a huge component of making improvements to the actual law. So we always welcome any feedback for the public or from the public on the existing tools or anything that they might like to see on our website. But I would encourage anyone to go check that out. That's currently on our homepage. And that is everything for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Joseph. Very much appreciate your work. I will now turn to Mr. Tristan for the Executive Director's Report.
Good morning, Commissioners. I will keep this short and sweet, as I'm sure many of you are probably hungry given our new schedule that we have at this time. I wanted just to highlight all the work that the staff has been doing related especially to the 2022 election. We have been inundated with public matching funds requests. We have nearly half the staff dedicated to working on those to process through the claims. We hope to keep those moving along as we continue to receive the claims. We also just had the annual filing of the Statements of Economic Interest, the largest in our history. We are now over 9,000 filers. Annual filers. So again, a lot of work on that front from the our governmental ethics team. I did want to focus on a couple of things that are really important to the work that we're doing. Tyler mentioned one of them, which was the new contributor dashboard that we just released last night that is focused on the 2022 elections and provides the public with data, geographic data of contributions by zip code. For all candidates, and that includes geographic data in the entire United States. The public will also be able to see contributions separated into different categories, like individuals and non-individual within the city, outside of the city, and again, just help them make informed decisions about whatever actions they choose to take. But that was a one of the projects that Jose Guzman and Nancy Jackson from our communications team had been working on. So that was a big goal of ours to continue to find ways to make this information digestible to the public. I also wanted to highlight another communication item that we released yesterday, which was a video that focuses on political activity for city employees and officials. That was widely distributed. Again, that was part of feedback that we heard from the public about easier ways to help them and understand the rules that apply to them. And that is an example of the type of tool that we will continue to be working on to provide the public and the regulated community information on the work that we're doing. And lastly, I just wanted to add that in terms of some of the comments that the public made about ways to make it easier for them to be familiar with and use our site. That is something that is in the queue for us, and we're looking at not only one-on-one training for big groups like neighborhood councils, but also developing videos that will walk through the different tools that we have available in our site for to make it easy for the public to see and search the functions that we have. And although I said lastly, I want to add one final thing in terms of, you know, giving thanks to the subcommittee on the lobbying ordinance, because they did spend many time, especially Commissioner Murray, you know, she's been here from the beginning on the different variations of the ordinance that has been proposed. So I really want to thank their commitment to that, and Commissioner Dar for his leadership on the different issues that came up. I also want to thank Heather for all her work. She also has been one that this is, I believe, the third time that we've moved this forward to council. So hopefully this will move further down the line. But again, thank them for all their work on this front.
Thank you, Mr. Tristan, and thank you for your staff. We know, especially with the number of candidates and the 22 elections, how busy everyone is, and we appreciate your professionalism, continued effort you and your staff are putting in. Very much appreciated by all the commissioners. Commissioners, that is brings us to our closing. Do you have any announcements or requests to schedule items on future agendas? And I am not seeing any, so I assume everyone is ready for item number 14, our adjournment, which means this concludes our meeting today. Thank you to my fellow commissioners, the staff, and the public for your input and participation today. It is very much appreciated. This meeting is now adjourned at 1:38 p.m. Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
There were goodbye.